If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at T-Mobile Arena after a 7-5 Blackhawks loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm going to bring in Troy Murray here. Troy, there's no organ here at T-Mobile Arena, but if there were, it would be playing sad organ music.
It would be playing sad organ music. Tough one.
It got off to a real tough start for Chicago. They fall behind 5-1 in the first period. They mount some sort of miraculous-ish comeback in the third period, but it never felt like the Hawks were actually in it. Vegas was in control from the start.
I mean, it got interesting. Yeah. You know, Hawks were within one goal, and then just a real fluky play for Vegas to score their seventh goal, and that was just kind of a tough one to overcome. But you know, the good thing is after playing a horrible first period, they were able to regroup and come back. And you know, there's two sides to the equation, as I said a little bit earlier on the broadcast. When you get up 5-1, if you're Vegas, your mind starts to drift. You're not as focused, whatever. And you know, for the Hawks, embarrassed after that first 20 minutes, so they came out and played better for the next 40 minutes. And you kind of really didn't put Vegas in a tough position until later on, and then they kind of shut it down and were able to score that lucky goal. You never know what could happen if they didn't score that goal, and now you're pulling the goaltender and you're down by a couple. You're hoping for something good to happen, but I have no explanation of what was going on in that first period. Peter Mrazek did not have a solid period, and it, you know, sometimes the goaltending masks some of the problems that you have out in front, like the game in Utah where Soderblom was so good it could have gotten away just like this one did early on here in the first period. So give them credit for battling back, but not good enough, not near good enough when it needed to be at the beginning.
It was the second straight game, too, that the Blackhawks had committed three penalties in the first period. In Utah the other night, they went 5-for-5 on the penalty kill. It was one of the few bright spots. But you knew that Vegas is a team that's going to make you pay if you give them three power plays in the first, and they capitalized on two of the three.
Yeah, that is something that you got to take out of the equation. 3-1 penalty, way too much. You didn't even have a power play in this game.
Yeah, that's the third time this season.
Yeah, Vegas is a very disciplined team, the lowest penalized team in the NHL. They play a big, heavy game, but they play it the right way. And you know, there's a lot of veteran players on that side of the equation, a lot of guys that won the Cup with Vegas. So, you know, they know how to play the game. They know when they have to tighten it up. And I thought that they, you know, were really good, but the Hawks forced the issue. Some really good moments for the Hawks as far as some of the individual play. I thought Nazar was good in this one. He had a couple of assists. He was +2. But really the difference was the Vegas line of Howden, Barbashev, and Kolesar. They together had 9 points in the game. They were +8, and they really made the difference as far as what Vegas was bringing to the table.
You mentioned it. When the Hawks fall behind 5-1, they make the goalie change, bring in Arvid Soderblom. He kind of helped stabilize things, but it certainly felt like Vegas took their foot a little bit off the gas pedal, where it's like, okay, we can kind of coast in the final 40, and that opened the door for Chicago to get back into the game. But again, Vegas is so good that even though they took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit, they were still in control of the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't until the Hawks got to within one where you're saying, well, you know, maybe something good could happen here. And then they got that lucky goal, which was just fluky. Barbashev redirects it in the slot area. It hits the skate of Seth Jones off the post. Soderblom, nothing you can do on that play. But, you know, the Hawks made it interesting. But I do, you know, I've been there before. And, you know, for the Hawks, I mean, I don't know if anybody had to say anything because they were embarrassed in that first period. They knew it. You know, Peter Mrazek has struggled. He's going to have to find his game. We'll see what happens a couple nights from now when they take on Anaheim. But I like the resolve of some of the younger players in this game. Del Mastro gets his first goal in the NHL. Colton Dock delivers 6 hits and scores a goal. You know, Nazar with a real strong game as well. So those young guys are kind of, you know, driving the the bus right now, and that's what you want to see. You want to see these guys step up. Nick Foligno goes out after the first period. That's going to be a big loss because he's such a big part of those guys inside the room. But, you know, Soderblom did what he needed to do. He only gave up the two goals, and, you know, he's been the better goaltender here in the last little while. There's no doubt about that. And for Peter Mrazek, he's going to have to regroup. And again, you know, you look at the scoring chances, the shot attempts, all that heavily in favor of Vegas in this game as well. You need good goaltending, and you have to take some pressure off your goaltender sooner or later, because these guys have been asked way too often to be perfect for the Blackhawks to even stay close in games.
Not to grasp at straws, but you mentioned that the Blackhawks didn't have a single power play in this game, and so for them to pull within one goal, scoring five goals without getting a power play, not to say like that is something that could be built upon, but when guys are getting their cookies and guys are getting assists, getting goals, hopefully for Chicago moving forward, that can free some of them up or like open up the dam offensively for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and it, you know, the goals that were scored were not fancy plays. They were hard-working plays with guys going to the net. And, you know, Nazar had a breakaway too, and he missed the net. He's going to start capitalizing on those opportunities. He's probably had more breakaways in his time with Chicago than anybody else this season, but he hasn't been able to find the back of the net, you know, with a lot of those opportunities. But he's getting those chances, which is good. And if you look at, you know, in this game, and I don't want to be critical, but, you know, Connor Bedard, another very quiet game, if you want to call it that. He was minus two. He had one shot on goal. He did have six shot attempts. But, you know, he's the guy that you're looking for to create the offense. And, yeah, when he's on the ice on the power play, he's got time and space to be creative. That's when he's at his best. He's going to have to find a way to, you know, go through these checks as the games get harder and harder as you move towards the end of the season with so much on the line for a lot of the opposition teams. He's going to have to find a way to be better and to be in control of five-on-five play. And he's just not doing it right now, and I know that he's frustrated, but, you know, he is the guy that you're counting on, and he played 22 and a half minutes in this game. So that's a big chunk of what you need to do, and you need more from him.
You mentioned some of those young guys, Frank Nazar, Colton Dock, Ethan Del Mastro. They were kind of the standout, specifically Frank Nazar. I thought this was one of his best games as a Blackhawk. Two assists. You mentioned the opportunity that he got early in the third period that he could have trimmed it for Chicago, got an early one to ignite a comeback. But even beyond the production offensively, it felt like he was generating chances throughout the night for Chicago.
Yeah, he was, and it's because of his speed. I mean, he has got speed, and he's starting to figure out the game. There's going to be ups and downs, but I really like what I'm seeing from Nazar, and I know that the coaching staff loves that he does bring that speed. I thought Mikheyev was good, too, and it was because his speed as well. Vegas has got a big, heavy team, but they're not the fastest team, especially on the blue line there. You know, they're a veteran group of guys, but they don't have that speed there, and so you could really notice Nazar, and he's really competitive. He wants to be, you know, the best player on the ice when he has. Without the captain, Nick Foligno, you look at Nazar took 16 faceoffs and he won 8 of them, so he's getting better in that area. You know, Connor Bedard took 16 faceoffs and he only won 5 of them, so, you know, he's been getting better and he's been working on it, but he had a tough night a couple nights ago in the faceoff circle, another tough night there. But when you look at where Nazar is right now, you know, he was noticeable on the good side. And Unfortunately, Bedard was noticeable on the other side of the equation, where he just couldn't get anything going. And it's just because of the speed of what Nazar brings.
And it's important, too, that Nazar is starting to break out in the way that he is, because there's no Jason Dickinson, and he's obviously one of the top centers on this Blackhawks roster. And now we're not sure what the status is with Nick Foligno moving forward, but he was slid into that second-line center role. So the Hawks are starting to get really thin at the center position, and if Frank Nazar can continue to elevate his game the way he has the last few games, that would bode a long way for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that they like what they're seeing in Nazar right now, and he's just a guy. He's not heading down to Rockford anytime soon.
Right.
And, you know, he's just trying to figure out how the game is played. And once he goes into the off season, they'll work on some specific things. He's a guy that just he's got to, I think, overall, he's got to get in better shape. And that's not a knock, but, you know, it's hard to play, and you have to be in great shape. And the younger players, as they come into the NHL, more often than not, those are the players that are in the least shape of the NHL group that comes in, because the older guys know how hard it is and know how hard it is that they have to work in the off season. And the young guys, you know, they think they're working hard, but all of a sudden, you know, you see all these videos about what Connor McDavid does in his off season training. They're going, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I got to be better than that. And, you know, when he starts to pick up all those things and gets himself in a position where he's got that high energy motor and he can do it for, you know, a big length of time, he's just going to be better and better. And you know, for Colton Dock, you know, he comes up there and his play had just dipped a little bit. You know, you mentioned some of the young guys. He picks up a goal in this one, second of the season. He had 6 hits in this game. Nobody else on the Hawks had more than 3, and that was Connor Murphy, who had 6 block shots in this game and a career-high 3 assists and plus 2. Yeah. So there were some really good things that happened after that first period for guys to get back into the game. But unfortunately, I mean, as John said, to finish it off there, you can't chase the game like the Hawks are doing right now. And sometimes it factors into the score, like tonight. Sometimes it doesn't factor into the score, but they chased that whole game against Utah. They were not the better team.
You mentioned, too, Ethan Delmastro scores his first career NHL goal. I noticed, too, in the third period they had changed up the pairings where it was Martinez and Jones to start. Delmastro was on the third pairing with Brody, and they flip-flopped Martinez and Delmastro with Ethan going on the top pairing with Seth Jones. Kind of a little bit of a reward for what he was doing in the first two periods.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, TJ Brody struggled in this one and played just over 12 minutes. It just wasn't his best game, and, you know, Delmastro, he's a big kid. You want him to play. He's got to make, he's, you know, and he's another guy that's, it's a big learning curve for him. And he's got to figure out what he needs to do, and he's really got to simplify his game until he, you know, picks it up to this NHL level. He hesitates a little bit to make plays, but you can see that he can and has the ability to visualize what's going on. He's just got to execute those plays a little bit better. But, you know, for him, what a great shot, and he was even in this game in 18 and a half minutes. So, you know, good for him to pick up some of that ice time that was taken away from some of the veteran players and take advantage of it.
I like Ethan Delmastro's package, and I feel like with young defensemen, it takes a while, like the threshold of games, it takes a while to figure out what, why are you laughing? Did I say something?
No.
It takes a while for young defensemen for you to figure them out. I don't even know where I'm going with my question now, because I'm trying to replay my brain what I said.
Yeah, don't go there.
All right. Oh, man. This is a bad right. idea for me.
You were talking about
it's a bad idea to be in Vegas with you.
You were talking about Delmastro.
Like, as he navigates life in the NHL, just on the ice, off the ice. You just want to keep talking about Delmastro?
No, get to your question.
Charlie, go ahead and give me the question. I'll take it for you.
I'm waiting for the question.
I feel like I'm going to get clipped later. I still don't know what you're talking about. Oh, man. All right, let's shift gears. How about Connor Murphy? 3 assists. We'll stay on the back end. We'll just shift away from Ethan. You mentioned 3 assists, career high. John had mentioned on the broadcast. Also, you mentioned 6 block shots. I mean, what'd you see from him in this game and over the last few games?
Well, he's a competitive guy, and he competes, and he's a guy that is in great shape. When it comes into training camp, he's right at the top of most of the testing that they do, and you know, he's a pro out there. And his last assist that he got, he delivered a huge hit to separate the puck. Vlasic covered up there, got it back to Murphy, who moved it up to Nazar as he was skating through the neutral zone and pushed everybody back because of his speed. But, you know, Connor Murphy's a competitive guy, and he competes. And that's a great example for the younger players where, you know, he's involved physically most of the time. You saw him take a penalty yesterday, or on on Tuesday against Utah, where he was defending Connor Murphy or Connor Bedard. You've got me all messed up now. Helping out Connor Bedard, he got a roughing penalty for it. But that's what you want to see from a veteran guy who understands what he needs to do in his role that he plays on this team. And three assists is good for him. I mean, that's way out of his kind of wheelhouse, as John had mentioned. You know, it was this career high for him. But it's the three hits that he had, three big hits and the six blocks, and that's what he does best, is how he defends and competes.
You think we'll see Arvid Soderblom in Anaheim on Saturday?
Boy, that's a good question. I would assume that's the direction, but they'll certainly discuss what they need to do. He wasn't supposed to play in this game, but a real rough first 20 minutes for Peter Mrazek, who gave five goals on 15 shots and just didn't look comfortable, lost his net a few times. And you know, the team didn't play very well in front of him, but, you know, a goaltender's got to make those one or two big saves at the beginning to keep his team in, especially in a building like this where it can get loud, the emotion can be taken advantage of by the home team, and he just didn't make that save that they were looking for.
How much did you love / hate having me in Vegas with you?
Well, the odds were... No, it was good to see you last night. We hung out. And
we had fun.
And enjoyed... a libation or two
or three
or three, but we did go to bed
at a lot of
at a reasonable time.
We did, at least I did.
Well, I did too.
I don't know. Okay. And but only one of us made it to morning skate,
and that was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
How excited
which
you
is
was to
which
say
is surprising.
there was zero chance I was out, and not because I was out late last night, is because We were at Stadium Swim all day, and shout out to the folks at Circa. They really spoiled us over the yesterday and today, and so there was zero chance. I was like, go to morning skate, sit poolside watching the golf that was on the big screen. So
you do realize that our bosses are probably listening to the fact that
I was with my boss at
okay,
Stadium
then you're good.
Swim. I made it clear. I okay. I did get a bad some bad, got like a little nose, some red right here. I was wearing a hat and I got like a white mark, so I'll have to clean that up. But it was fun. It was fun. Thanks for
You had your hat on backwards, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, it was fun to be here. Thanks for letting me elbow my way into the radio booth with you guys in Vegas. Safe travels to Anaheim.
Well, you punted our.
I did.
Our
poor
engineer Ray. Like, he's even gone now, but he didn't even have a seat. Nothing.
I stole his seat. So I fly back to Chicago tomorrow. You guys are going to Anaheim tonight.
If you let us go.
I'll let you go now. Actually, I kind of want you to miss the flight, so you're going to have to fly with us commercial. All right. Troy, good stuff.
We'll talk to you on
Saturday. All right. That's the great Troy Murray. We got more to get to coming up on the Blackhawks postgame show, which is going to roll on after this on 720 WGN.
Murphy in the right wing corner, leaving it for Donato. Rolls off of a check, fed it over, left circle, Del Mastro shoots, he scores! Ethan Del Mastro's first National Hockey League goal with authority. Beats Samsonov over the shoulder, and the Hawks are now back to within two of the Golden Knights, trailing 5-3. Somebody get that puck.
We are back on the Blackhawks postgame show here at T-Mobile Arena. Charlie Romeliotis here, helping you break down a 7-5 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. That was Ethan Del Mastro's first career NHL goal. Really nice for him. And somebody did grab that puck. I believe it was Connor Bedard that grabbed it. I saw him flip it over to one of the trainers when the Blackhawks went back up to the bench. So nice to see Ethan Del Mastro get that. We were talking about Frank Nazar earlier. Two assists in the game. He was a +2, two shots on goal. One of the guys that really stood out in this hockey game for the Blackhawks. He spoke to the media a little bit ago. Let's listen in and hear what he had to say.
To come back, play that well, and then not be able to finish it off.
Yeah, it's obviously it sucks. Them scoring that last goal off a bad bounce, and when we're that close and just kind of rolling, feeling good with each other, and happy on the bench and standing up, and then something like that goes in. It's a little demotivating, but just the resilience to put in a few goals and come back in this game. You know, it's not easy coming back from 5-1 deficit. So just to be able to be in that game is shows the resiliency we have.
How comfortable are you feeling right now? It seems like, especially coming out of the break, you've been pretty aggressive around the puck a lot. And what's your comfort level right now?
That's really good. I think it's just more confidence, just getting that first half of the season under the belt, knowing that, you know, deserve to be here and can play with all these guys on the ice. And a lot of the guys in the team just, you know, like, being nice, talking, and, you know, make me feel comfortable. So that helps a ton. So just feeling good and hopefully help get some more wins. But
so some chemistry with you and Landon and Colton all playing together?
Yeah, we've played together before in Rockford, so... you know, it's always good to play with those guys. I know what they're going to do, know their style and how they're going to play. And I thought we did pretty well together.
Nice with Colton coming back up to help him start the rally with that goal in the second.
Yeah, honestly, you know, he put in the work. He got in there on the forecheck, helped us get the puck back, and then goes in there and battles in the net front. So he deserves that. He works his tail off, so real happy for him.
Would you like that breakaway back?
Yeah, it's close. Just got to score on a breakaway one of these days. It's coming.
Yeah, Frank Nazar, man, he has been really close all season long, especially with started actually down in Rockford. Nazar has had quite a few shorthanded breakaways specifically for the Rockford IceHogs. Then when he got to the NHL, you started to see that a little bit too. I know when he got put on a line with Connor Bedard in Nashville, I know he had a few of those chances. But yeah, Frank Nazar, his speed is really evident for the Blackhawks, and that's a huge reason why he was very appealing when Chicago took him at number 13 overall in that draft in Montreal. He's just a really speedy player. I'm sure he's kicking himself in that third period for not capitalizing on that breakaway, but he's starting to build a body of work that's been impressive, and the finish hopefully will start to come for Frank Nazar in the near future, but the fact that he's been getting the chances and helping generate those chances, whether it's setting them up by himself, like the opportunity that he got in that third period, or just creating and playmaking with how we saw today in the two primary assists. I know the Colton Dock goal was a redirection, but just the wherewithal to get that puck on the net was really solid. So really, really great game for Frank Nazar. Another multi-point effort by the Blackhawks is Connor Murphy. They were the two, Nazar and Murphy were the only two Blackhawks that finished with a multi-point effort in this game. Connor Murphy, 3 assists. He was a +3 rating, which is really hard to believe in a game where you give up 7 goals against. He spoke to the media also right after Frank Nazar. Let's listen in and hear what he had to say.
Kind of a crazy game. What do you make of that?
It was exciting that we came back. You felt momentum our way. It felt like we were going to draw a penalty at the end and really have a good chance to tie it. And it just sucks. We get that bad bounce on the last goal against, and it buried us a bit. But it was nice to come back.
Did you feel like you were owed kind of a power play at the end?
Yeah, we did. And I think the refs kind of felt that too. I felt like one was coming and we were out playing and had them a little more on their heels. And usually that's when one of those little stick slashes or hooks ends up being called. So it would have been nice to see that happen and us to get a good look to tie it, because you could really feel the momentum was our way.
It sort of felt like it snowballed in the first period the other way.
Yeah, it did. The part, that first period, frustrating part was it felt like it was self-induced. It felt like we were the ones letting them get by us on rushes, or we were the ones being careless with our breakouts or things like that. And all we started doing was playing. We didn't do anything too magical to get our goals. I think it's a lesson for us that game about just playing our game and believing and trusting that things work out when you do things the right way over time, whether you're playing against a top team in the league or not.
Coming out of intermission, what do you think sparked the rally?
I think just knowing you had nothing to lose and knowing that we didn't show up to play at all in that first period. So all it takes is just playing free and confident, and then getting on your toes and being engaged into the game. I think we didn't battle and compete to start. Let Raza out to dry, and just didn't feel like we had urgency. And then all we had to do was just start playing and competing the right way, and that's how the game unfolds.
Nice to get contributions from a couple of the young guys to start.
Really nice, yeah. It just shows that they're willing to make plays when you're up against a good team or when the game's not going well to start. So hopefully this is a big lesson game for all of us. We've obviously had a lot of losses lately, but at some point we got to take certain pieces of them and really turn them around and get wins.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy. Had a really solid game. Also blocked 6 shots in this game. Liked what he was saying earlier, right at the beginning of his media presser about how the ice started to tilt in Chicago's favor towards the end, and not completely where he felt like Vegas was starting to lose it. But the Blackhawks didn't get a single power play in this game, and he was kind of acknowledging that the refs kind of felt like it was coming too. And so it's one of those things, we've seen it in the NHL a lot, where typically when the power plays are very lopsided, the refs try to even things out, not intentionally, but just subconsciously. When the penalties are so lopsided, you try to even just get some sort of evenness. The Hawks committed all 3 of their penalties in the first period. So after the first period, no team committed a single penalty after that. So in the second and thirds, there were no power plays for either team. It was the 3rd time this season the Blackhawks have had 0 power plays in a game. The last 2 instances were the January 10th game against the Detroit Red Wings, who won 5-3 against the Blackhawks, and December 23rd game, where the Minnesota Wild defeated the Blackhawks 4-3. It's also the 6th time this year, 6th or 7th, actually it's the 7th time this year, the Hawks have had fewer than a minute of power play time in a game. So unfortunately for Chicago, we were talking about it earlier with Troy Murray, how Connor Bedard had another tough one. This is the 4th straight game that he was held off the score sheet. And when you're not getting power play opportunities, where that's kind of his bread and butter, it's really difficult for Chicago to really generate any sort of momentum. I know they had two power plays in Utah. They had 9 shot attempts in that one, scored a goal, generated 5 scoring chances, but against the Toronto Maple Leafs, only had a minute and 27 worth of power play time. So you'd like to see the Blackhawks draw a little bit more penalties moving forward so they can get the offense going, because the Hawks tried to muster this comeback, scored 5 goals in this game without getting a single power play. So that was encouraging from that standpoint. But got to draw more penalties in the game if you want to have a real chance to get off to the right start in a game. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game. And then we'll also hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen, who provided an injury update on Nick Foligno. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Near the right point, over to Nick Hague, high slot, sends one toward the net, gloved out of the air by Soderblom. And that one redirected off the ice and up into the glove of Arvid Soderblom.
What a great reaction save. That is so hard for a goaltender, because your momentum is heading in one direction. You see where the shot's coming through. You have the lane, and then all of a sudden it changes direction. He did an excellent job of going against the grain and his body momentum to find that puck.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. It was the save of the game was by Arvid Soderblom, but it was Peter Mrazek that had started this game for Chicago. Gave up 5 goals on 15 shots for a .667 save percentage. Obviously, Soderblom came in relief in the second period. This is the 3rd time in the last 4 starts that Mrazek has given up 5 goals in a game. He had that one really solid game against the Nashville Predators before the break, where he stopped 31 of 33 for a .939 save percentage. And so I thought maybe that was a really good performance that Peter was going into the break with. Unfortunately, the 2 coming out of the break haven't been very great. And I think the Blackhawks making the goalie change in the second period was maybe less about Mrazek and more about the team just was not ready to play in that first period. I'm sure Peter would like to have some of the saves back, but it got so it was kind of just boom, boom, boom right away that Vegas, and especially with 2 of them coming on the power play, hard to fault Mrazek or kind of pin that first period on him. Felt more of trying to get the attention of the entire team. Soderblom finished with 16 saves on 18 shots for an .889 save percentage. I imagine we're going to see him on Saturday against the Anaheim Ducks. I know the last time that Arvid was in Anaheim, he had that terrific performance. I think it was 38 saves on 40 shots, but if you look at some of the quality of those 38 or of the 40 shots, most of them were from high danger areas. And so It's going to be interesting to see whether Sorensen tries to go back to Mrazek so he can get that bad taste out of his mouth, or if he kind of capitalizes on the performance that Soderblom had in the final 40 minutes of this game. Blackhawks interim head coach spoke to the media a little bit ago, also provided an update on Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno, who left this game at the start of the second period, undisclosed injury. So let's listen in and see what Sorensen had to say about the loss and the injury update to Foligno.
It's kind of a crazy one. How would you assess it?
Well, yeah, it was crazy. Obviously, the first period, we're down 5-1, but we had some chances. Scoring chances were actually even after the first, and we're down 5-1. Say what you want about that, right? But, obviously, I thought we had a little push to turn the tide a little bit, and... Yeah, but gave up too much, obviously.
It seemed like the young guys are maybe helping that push there in that second?
Absolutely, yeah. I thought Frankie, I thought, was really good. I thought Deli stepped in and did some good things as well. Yeah, Docker as well, so it was positive. But I think as a group, we can't wait to be down 5-1 to play with urgency, right? So the urgency has to be there from the get-go.
What was working so well for Nazar? It seemed like he was all over the place, second and third period.
Skating. It's just skating, right? It's all it is. A lot of times it's working and skating, either with the puck or off the puck.
Do you have any update on Foligno?
Day-to-day right now.
What happened? I couldn't even see anything.
It's a lower body thing, yeah. It's off the face-off and tweaked something, and, yeah.
I'm sure Brody coming back in the lineup, you know, like he's thinking that he wants to, you know, just improve and stuff. But it just seems like he fumbled the puck and some of the puck management. What have you seen, I guess, of him since you took over, and where are some of the struggles at?
Yeah, I mean, obviously today, a tough start to the game, right? I think he's pressing a little bit. You know, he's been in and out of the lineup a little bit. He knows it, that he hasn't played well. We've talked about it. So I think you put extra weight on your own shoulders at times, and it just... then it goes the wrong way.
Do you still ride with him, or do you think about putting Allen back?
Well, it's something we'll discuss. Yeah.
And the decision to pull Mrazek, was that just the 5 goals, or did you?
More for the group. That wasn't on him. I mean, we can't behave like that in front of him at times, right? We got to win some of those battles. Obviously, they scored 2 power play goals, but we got to be better in front of him.
Murphy was saying he felt like you guys kind of owed a power play there in the third, where you just playing not to get one.
Yeah, we were. We talked to the refs about it too, and they said, yeah, look, you know, keep doing it and we'll give you one, but we didn't get one, so.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. See, even that communication between the Blackhawks coaching staff and the officials, knowing that the Hawks were really pushing there in the third period, you kind of felt like a power play was coming at some point. It never did, and I'm sure that was a frustrating part of the equation for the Blackhawks, not to get one to at least, especially when it got to 6-5, like trying to get a power play to even things up. I think that would have gone a long way for the morale of the group, knowing that at least they got their opportunity since Vegas had gotten 3 in that first period. Nick Foligno, he left that game in the first period. I went back and watched that shift, that it was his last shift, and you heard Sorensen say it came off the faceoff. So it came off the faceoff. Then a couple seconds later, I saw him go and get tied up in the corner with Mark Stone. Like it seemed like he I don't know if they got tangled up in the feet, and then Vlasic ended up tried to skate into a position, and they ran into each other. And I saw Foligno kind of labor just a little bit, and he ended up playing out the entire shift, which I think lasted more than a minute long. But he seemed to be moving around fine, so I'm wondering if it was one of those things where he got inside the locker room and kind of once the adrenaline didn't go down too far, but once they kind of assessed what exactly might have happened, Foligno probably said, I'm not sure if I'm good to go for the rest of the game. And Foligno is a total gamer, so for him to not be able to return in this game, fortunately Sorensen said it was day-to-day, but for Foligno not to be able to play the rest of the game, obviously it was something that was going to impact his ability moving forward for the Blackhawks. I also wanted to shout out Alec Martinez. This was his first time back in Vegas, and he had a really nice video tribute during the first TV timeout. Got a standing ovation from the crowd here at T-Mobile Arena. He means a lot to this organization. Obviously, he's won 3 Stanley Cups in his career, 2 with LA, but he was also part of that 2023 Stanley Cup win for the Vegas Golden Knights. And so it was nice to see Martinez get his love back here in this building. After the game, when the Vegas Golden Knights were kind of in their celebration and the Blackhawks had left the ice, I saw Martinez skate over to one of the trainers on the Vegas bench and kind of fist bumped him. So cool to see Martinez. Obviously, a special place in this building for him, but also the love that he got from the Vegas Golden Knights fans in this arena, I'm sure meant a lot to him as well. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks post-game show. It's been a late one, so thanks for sticking up with us. Got one more, and then we'll finish things off right here on 720 WGN.
He strides to center, trying to protect the puck across the line. McTavish to Strome. Score!
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show. That leads us right into our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. It's a goal by Ryan Strome for the Anaheim Ducks, who are now 8-2-1 in their last 11 games. They've been playing some really good hockey as of late. They did have an injury to their starting goaltender, John Gibson, unfortunately, so it doesn't look like he's going to be returning in time for this game. Lucas Dolstal started in this game for the for tonight's game against the for the Anaheim Ducks against the Vancouver Canucks. They rallied from 2-0 down, Anaheim did, to beat Vancouver 5-2, so they're on a real nice high note. The Ducks are going to be without Trevor Zegras, one of their top young forwards, because of a suspension. He got hit with a three-gamer after an illegal hit that he made on the Detroit Red Wings a few games ago on Sunday. So he's not going to be available for Anaheim. But the Ducks have been rolling as of late. While the commercial break was going on, I was looking up the Arvid Soderblom stats, and the last time the Blackhawks were in Anaheim, it was November 3rd. In a 4-2 Blackhawks win, Arvid Soderblom was the number one star of the game, and it's because Anaheim in that game had 93 shot attempts, which is tied for second most the Blackhawks have allowed in a game this season. 54 scoring chances Anaheim generated. 25 of those were high danger chances. So Arvid Soderblom made 38 saves on 40 shots, but 54 scoring chances and 25 high danger chances, only two goals allowed. He saved 3.95 goals above expected. So Arvid was terrific. Hawks are in a situation now where I'm not sure which goaltender they're going to go with on Saturday. I imagine it's going to be Soderblom because of the game that he was coming off of, but I'm not sure if the Blackhawks want to completely overwork Soderblom, although they are coming off the break, so he should be somewhat fresh. But the Hawks are, it's been a tough sledding since that Four Nations faceoff. Hawks dropping every single game in regulation since. They're going to wrap up this three-game road trip in Anaheim on Saturday. So it's been a tough trip for the Blackhawks so far, but hopefully they can finish things out on a positive note in Anaheim on Saturday. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew back in Chicago of Jack Heinrich and Patrick Hennessy. They were led by our engineers, Ray Ragle here in Vegas, and our captain back at the station, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from T-Mobile Arena, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 7-5 Blackhawks loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday night.